Rules. Do you like rules?
Yes.
Oh, everybody likes rules. Yeah. You know, we read them. We look at all the rules before we, especially football games. Now, some rules are important. Some rules have to be. Rules in football or some other games important. But so rules are good when we need them. And sometimes guardrails, like rules, keeps us safely well between our peace of mind. And what feels like a risky journey is made secure and free by worry of guidelines, laws, and the rules of society. So when rules function as our boundaries, our structure to our otherwise aimless endeavor, they do comfort us. But when our rules become our journey and our primary focus, the purpose for the trip itself, we have become prisoners sometimes in our own safety net. So how does all this happen? It usually has to do with fear. Because more that we fear a journey or a destination, the more rules that we can attempt to surround ourselves with. In a sense, our rules become a good excuse to cover a barrier that we hide behind, so that we don't have to deal with whatever we have to deal with that lies in front of us. So rules, when out of hand, can be like weeds that overtake a garden. You ever try to keep all the weeds out of a garden? It's kind of hard to do. They can choke our lives, our prospects, our future, and our relationships. So think about this. Think about a young woman who has a dream of finding a partner to share her life with, wants to get married, wants to find the right man, just the right man, yet thwarts any attempt for any man to get close to her. Think of a man whose dream of climbing higher in his career yet shoots down any attempt to further his education or opportunities that might attempt the furthering of his career that might require maybe some new learning, maybe a promotion, or maybe even moving to a new area. Think of a neighbor who says he or she loves children yet puts a sign in their front yard, "Stay off the lawn," and consistently critiques the manners and behavior of any child who dares to set foot in this immaculately kept house or yard. Think of a man who longs for a dog, but when he gets one, sets so many rules for that dog, the dog cannot do what dogs are called to do, and they never bond. He says the dog can't sit on the sofa. He can't get wet paws on the rug. He can't get fur on his clothing, and he can't give you one of those lick kisses that dogs love to do. I think you know the drill. Rules are sometimes okay, but then sometimes not so much. And think of a woman who longs to be close to her children, yet imposes so many strict rules on them, snapping at them for transgressing multiple times a day. But they grow apart from her, because she has not allowed them to approach her in a loving and caring way. Or the community center, designed to serve the community of people and yet put so many rules that only the in crowd can possibly follow them. So when our fears rule out, our rules get in the way of our relationships and our living, fear is the heart's own deceit. Fear is ultimately what entraps us, what makes us lonely, what makes us guarded, what makes us unapproachable. And fear can also make us very untrusting and suspicious and biased towards others who don't fit in with our rule-based society. The more that we fear, the more that we separate ourselves from others. And the more we separate ourselves from others, the more we tend to label everyone else as other. In our world that we live in, our greatest source of bias or exclusion or oppression, even disdain, comes from our fears of others, whom we believe that do not fit into our code of rules, our code of conduct, our code of sameness, our code of protection. Bias and exclusions are our own greatest form of hindrance, if that is a word. Fear, mistrust, and self-isolation. Today in the scriptures that we read in Mark, Jesus deals with his fellow Pharisees, the religious teachers, the religious of the law teachers, and he realizes that they have shut themselves off from the people that they were supposed to help teach and guide. After all, they're teaching God's rule and God's love and all that, and they put themselves into a position where they think that, you know, you're just better, they're better than anybody else, and if you don't follow these rules, you're no good. God's love and care and salvation and worship is so important. But here they are, the religious teachers of the laws, handing out a list of rules to follow, which betray not only the people that they are called to serve, but their own calling and their covenant with God himself. The interaction occurs when some of the Pharisees and the scribes, who are always watching Jesus, that's one thing they did, they're always watching him just to see if they can trip him up a little bit. He's supposed to be a rabbi, he's supposed to be a teacher, but you know, he's got some weird ideas in their mind. So they were always trying to trip him up and call out his disciples' behavior. They are, they say, eating with defiled hands, neglecting to wash the cups and the proper utensils of the Jewish law in consuming food. Good thing they don't live in our day and time, and you watch them lines going around the fast food restaurants all the way around, and the people are getting in there, and they get in there, and they boom, 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 they dig their hand in the bag, and it's just amazing that we don't have cucky monkeys all the time with all the stuff that goes on. But to quote Jesus, he used the words in Isaiah, it was a prophecy. He said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts and doctrines." He said, "You abandoned the commandment of God and to hold human tradition," is what Jesus was telling them. Then Jesus speaks to the entire crowd. He said, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside of a person by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defiles." And then he goes on to list a whole kind of thoughts and intents of the human heart, and to put barriers between people and block relationships and create bias and thwart loving behavior. You see, these behaviors can thrive in a heart that has blocked itself off from others by means of rules that separate and laws that bind. Some of the problems that you got in places like Afghanistan, where they are a rules-based society and not a based society based on laws and different things. They let rules take over their whole culture. And that, in turn, excludes a lot of other people. These behaviors can thrive in a heart that has blocked himself off. Another thing these kind of rules can do, not only do they fear the fans of and create illusions by keeping us safe from others, but they keep us in a position of authority, egotistic, loftiness, if you would, above others. Now, we can impose rules upon people. They proclaim that somehow or another, greater and more important, because we are the rule makers, not the rule breakers. And yet, this is just another form of self-imposed separation. For it can get lonely being on that pedestal all by your lonesome. Two major stumbling blocks came out of Jesus' pronouncement on the Pharisees in the scriptures today: trust and humility, or I should say, the lack of it. Both are fanned by fear. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. So what are the Pharisees afraid of anyhow? Perhaps losing their power, their authority, their status, their money, and perhaps they are truly afraid of God. Instead of serving God, they're really truly afraid of God. Perhaps they are so unsure of themselves, they get so blocked off emotionally and spiritually from God, that they have imposed rules even on themselves in hopes that this will bring them closer to their religious goal. The more fear, the less trust, both in themselves and others. But the problem is this, there also means less trust in God Almighty. That's why Jesus came. God was really frustrated with this rule-based thing that came into his creation, because that's not what he intended his creation to be. He intended his creation to be loving and caring. But what happened over the period of time? The more rules, the more arrogance builds and false righteousness takes place in the true intimacy with God. The kind of intimacy that allows one to stand before God and admit fault and shortcoming, imperfection and humanness. And only when one can stand intimately and opening in God's eyes can one stand with trust in God's forgiveness, love, mercy, and salvation. Jesus said that he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. You see, like the Pharisees, many of us have a tendency sometimes to block love from ourselves and from others and also from God. We get so tied up in our faults and our fears and our guilt and our shame that we can hide behind curtain. Facade. With rules that prevent us from truly living the authentic and beautiful lives that God has given us and blessed us with. So why did God create us anyhow? Way back in the Garden of Eden, why did he create us? He created all of us to love and to be loved. Think about that, to love and to be loved. He created us for fellowship with him. And he wants us to love him because we want to love him, not because we have to love him. It's important that God has that love relationship with his creation. Because when we open our hearts to God and to others and loosen those rules that blocks and hides us and binds us, so many people are bound up today in all kinds of crazy stuff. We just need to open our hearts to love. So today I challenge all of us as we look at all the ways of life that keeps others out, that your fears direct your journey and your relationship and your hindrance and keeps you from being close to God and trusting Jesus to guide you. And to go back to the analogy of rules, because when Jesus is driving your car, you have little need for guardrails. Think about that. I always talk about Judy sometimes. I'll tell her she's my co-pilot, but she keeps me straight when I'm driving. But really, God is my co-pilot, even though I think I'm in charge. He saved me quite a few terrible things that could have led into a collision or hurt somebody else or something. And I just every once in a while, I stay open to that small, still voice that says, "Ravi, you're going the wrong way. You need to get over here with me and let me drive for a while."